All right. Hello and welcome back to A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with my buddy Big Cass. And, you know, it's a big day for A Bunch of Nuts podcast. We are no longer with the Armchair All-Americans. We have rebranded ourselves, relaunched ourselves as an independent podcast. You can now find us on Podbean. We'll post a link to the Twitter account. It's A Bunch of Nuts on Podbean. We have a new logo and everything, but Big Cass, man, it's good to be our own brand now.
It's great to be back. It's outstanding to be back. I've been waiting for this. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but it's been late. It's been a long weekend. My high school football season is over. It's been a heck of a fall, but glad to be out on our own, away from Armchair. But that's where we got started, so.
Yeah, nothing but love for them, but it was just time to go our separate ways, you know. We just had different goals, and we just felt like our goals, we wanted to obtain more, and it was just nothing but love for them. We appreciate them for all their help, but it's just time, you know, to really, I think, do our own thing, and we weren't getting the support nor the compensation that we were really told, and I mean, it just is what it is. It's no hard feelings. You only learn in this business, but I'm stoked, Big Cass, because, you know, with this new, with us being independent, we're going to be able to, you know, go out, provide the best coverage possible, because we're doing it for ourselves, for our brand, and I'm really excited. You know, we're not only Ohio State sports we're going to cover, we're going to try to cover more, you know, local Columbus and Ohio sports, and it really gives us a chance, I think, to, you know, do what we want with this show.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some things in the near future that we want to try to get, especially with me being, you know, obviously closer to Columbus than you are. Got some opportunities to get things started.
Absolutely. Potential credentials and all that. But, I mean, We're just gonna take it as we see it, and we have a new logo and everything. We just put a bunch of nuts in the state of Ohio. I worked on it with the help of my sister, but man, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. I mean, it's been almost a little over a month. I mean, the last podcast we did, Big Cass, was Minnesota Week, and everything since then kind of went crazy. I mean, the next game was Purdue, and we all know how that went. And I don't want to talk about it, even though it's in the back of my mind constantly, that game. And then, you know, I went out to, I know you were doing your high school stuff. I was out in Cleveland for a weekend, saw a Browns game, saw them actually beat the Falcons. Then a week ago, I broke my arm, got surgery. So it's been kind of a hectic fall, and I know you've been doing your football. Could you just want to tell the fans how that was?
Football was outstanding, as you guys know, our former listeners who I missed the Minnesota and Indiana podcast week. Well, no, I did Indiana. I didn't do Minnesota week. I did get married in early October. So almost 2 months in now. And high school football season was great. I did catch the Nebraska game, took my brother to the Nebraska game. And I took my wife to the Bengals-Buccaneers game, and I think that's the last win the Bengals had, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think that was the last time A.J. Green was healthy.
He'll be back this weekend, and I'll be down there this weekend to watch your Denver Broncos probably stomp all over my Bengals, but it is what it is. but high football season was great. We had a couple teams make the playoffs out of this Columbus City League. Megasportsnews.com, I am the color analyst for the First and Goal page for high school football. And we had a hell of a playoff run. Eastmore Academy took it all the way to the Final Four. And they hit a buzzsaw team. And where, put it this way, this football team in Eastmore had like 48 kids. And injuries derailed them, and they thought they could get by one more week with injuries, and it didn't happen because they played a team in Chargon Falls, Kinston, Bombers is what they are called. They play tomorrow. They play tomorrow at 3 p.m. for the state title. But they Eastmore Academy lost 40-7 last Friday night at New Philly, Woody Hayes New Philly, Woody Hayes Quaker Stadium in New Philly. Sorry, folks. So I got the honor to call a football game in Woody Hayes' hometown. So that was outstanding. And Eastmore Academy, to make it to the Final Four and be regional champions. They, by the way, they won the regional championship in my home city in Lancaster.
Mm.
So that was quite awesome. But to recap their season, they lost to Westerville Central, and they went on and won 11 straight games to a regional championship, and then they finally lost. But their offensive coordinator is Deontay Johnson, which is a former captain at Ohio State. His final season was that dismal 2011 season. But he's the offensive coordinator for Eastmore, and he wrote that team. They wrote that team, and what an outstanding season for them. So it was an honor to do it, and now we're looking forward to basketball season, and I got a couple. I think I'm calling like 4 or 5 of those games. So football is my main sport, folks.
Absolutely. Now, Big Cass, one last question I got to ask before we kind of pivot to our, you know, our segments. But did any player stand out for you while calling these games? And could you see any of them potentially coming to Ohio State or any Big Ten school?
I know that that kid from Walnut Ridge High School, Isaiah Murphy, is headed to Valparaiso to play quarterback.
Hmm.
But none of them, I don't think. Malik Harrison's brother, he's only a sophomore at Walnut Ridge. He should be a pretty good football player. There's a young man, he's only 5'6", 165 pounds, Savon Edwards Jr. No, he has no looks, and he, for a career, was 32-4 for his career as a high school starter. Started as a freshman, but no offers. I know he rushed for almost 4,000 yards as a career too.
Wow!
But no offers. I think his size, lacked his size, but Napoleon Harris really stood out for me. He played both ways. He's a wide receiver and defensive back for Eastmore Academy. I don't think he had many offers. I know he's a good basketball player, but it's hard for the City League. Khalil Branham, he's the quarterback for Northland. He is committed to play wide receiver at Michigan. And his brother, John Branham, who's the running back this year at Northland, had offers from a bunch of MAC schools, Boston College, West Virginia, and I think I want to say Pitt, and he is undecided where he's going to go to. But he's also got scholarships for track and field, as he's an outstanding track and field, but he may not be able to participate because of his age.
Hmm, that's interesting. But obviously a lot of talent in that league, Big Cass.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go into more of our segments, since we're talking high school football, let's talk about some recruiting here. As you know, a bunch of five-star athletes were at this game. David Bell and Zach Harrison, the two main guys that were there. David Bell, a four-star, depending on what website you read, but the website I'm reading, Bucknuts.com, which is very credible. He's a four-star, 6'2", 185-pound wide receiver. He was there at Michigan. He is undecided. And Zach Harrison, obviously the only Tandy Liberty kid. They say he's leaning towards Michigan, but this hasn't updated since
the game.
The game, and I'm sure it's kind of persuaded. I know Larry Johnson has been he's got one more home visit, and I know Larry Johnson's been chomping at the bit at him, and this kid could start. If you guys don't know who Zach Harrison, 6'6", 243-pound defensive end. He's built. He's a monster, and I think he can contribute right away for this high state defense.
I mean, he's going to be a stud wherever he goes. He's going to be like, at least he's basically this year's like Micah Parsons or something like that. In my opinion, like he's just that. stud pass rusher, gonna go be a starter from day one wherever he goes. And it's huge if he picks Ohio State. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't pick Ohio State at this point after, you know, growing up in Columbus his whole life and, you know, seeing the beatdown on this past Saturday. I don't understand why he would go to that team up north, but you know what? It's his choice at the end of the day.
And then also there was Darnell Wright, a 6'6", 320-pound offensive tackle. He's leaning towards Tennessee, but he was at the game. And that's a player where we don't want to lose, but we also have also this class has got some nice linemen, so it wouldn't be a huge loss. Quarterback, we offered him a scholarship, but I think we're going to start pulling it. But this is kind of a funny story here on Bucknuts.com. Bill Kerlick wrote it 6 hours ago. And says QB Buckeyes offered commits to Tennessee over Michigan. Mm. And Harris Bailey visited as early as June, and Jake Ray. And they were at the top. They're from both from Tennessee. And they visited Michigan and then drove down to Ohio State. And they sat down with Coach Urban Meyer and Ryan Day the last time they visited, and it's leaning towards that they may be committing to Ohio State after the blowout win versus Michigan.
Interesting. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't see why, you know, these players would choose Michigan after the blowout. Like, it just baffles me. Why would you want to choose them?
Bailey withdrew from Ohio State and it's down to Tennessee and Michigan, and he's supposed to this afternoon at Marriott Performing Arts Center, a 6'5", 228-pound Bailey included also Georgia, Bama, Florida, Florida State, and LSU. He actually withdrew from Michigan after the game, and now those are his choices.
Speaking of that Michigan game, Big Cass, I mean, what a win for the Buckeyes. It's time for, I guess, our first segment of the week, though. The Cardale Jones Tweet of the Week nominations. And, I mean, with the Michigan game this past weekend, we had some great tweets. My Tweet of the Week goes to Big Cass Tyvis Powell. He had an all-time rant during the game. It started with a tweet. He says, "I just don't understand how people would want to go to that team up north. Like, you know you're never going to be in the top four because you're going to lose your last game every year. They're terrible. They not built for that championship run." And then Darren Lee replied to him saying, "Speak on it, Tyvis." And then he replies, "I got to speak my mind. I'm tired of hearing them being hyped up every year. They're terrible. They've been terrible for the past 15 years. The media needs to stop gassing them. It ain't even a rivalry anymore because it's so one-sided."
Absolutely, it is one-sided for the past 15 years. Keep in mind, folks, since Jim Tressel took over in 2001, the Ohio State, between Ohio State and Urban Meyer, because we threw the fickle out, 16-1 between Tressel and Urban Meyer.
It's a yearly tradition at this point, Big Cass. It's like, it's the best holiday of the year. It's, you got Thanksgiving, you got the day after Thanksgiving, you know, where you recover, you're just happy because you probably have the day off work, and then it's just the Saturday beatdown. It's the best 3 days of the year.
Wow. I had two Cardale Jones tweets of the week, and that one's not really a tweet. It was a comment made, and somebody tweeted it out that what he said, but Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum Show Monday said, "Urban Meyer made me look like an idiot this year."
You think?
A lot of people blowing it out of proportion. And I think that's funny. It really is. And Urban Meyer's made a lot of people look like idiots this year. And Urban Meyer, and going back to what Colin Cowherd or Paul Feinbaum and all them Yahoo jackos in the media who said that Urban Meyer is not coming back next year, well, guess what? Urban Meyer says he's planning on coming back.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be back at this point. I mean, he's done nothing on the field other than that one night in West Lafayette that we're not going to speak of anymore. But I mean,
and Iowa and blowout against Clemson, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, this year I'm saying though, this year I mean he's done nothing but I mean basically do his job. I mean if Ohio State finishes 11-1 with a Big Ten championship. And you told me before the year that Ohio State was going to finish 11-1 with a Big Ten championship. You would think that they'd be going to the playoff at least, at the very least.
The fact that in the regular season, Urban Meyer is 77-7 in the regular season. He has just as many losses as Michigan does to him. In the regular season.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's like, he's still the second best coach in college football, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and we hit a buzzsaw in West Lafayette this year. I mean, I wanted to say this, and this sounds kind of mean, and, you know, I don't, but isn't it weird that whenever the Buckeyes play a team like Iowa, who just opened up the Children's Hospital that week, right next to the stadium in 2017, and then this year you have the terminally ill kid from Purdue.
Oh, Tyler Trent?
Tyler Trent, which, you know, my prayers are out to him. Hopefully he gets better or, you know, hopefully everything works up for him in his future. But it just seems like whenever you play, Ohio State plays an unranked team on the road, all of a sudden, like, there's like this special heartwarming story that just derails the Buckeyes. You know, it's like the Buckeyes, oh, we don't want to win this game and ruin this for this team.
No, I mean, that's actually a really good observation there, Big Cass, because I remember during the Purdue game, too, after we lost, like, my mom actually called me, and she's like, did you see that story about the Tyler Trent kid? And I was like, yeah, no, it was a great story. Like, I was definitely happy for him, but point that out about Iowa, too, that with the Children's Hospital, that's a fair observation. I don't think, though, the team really does that, like, thinks like that.
No, I don't know either, but it makes fans think, like,
yeah.
Where's our heartwarming story? But that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to Urban Meyer, there's no reason for why he shouldn't be coaching, and I love all the tweets. But my other tweet goes out to two current Cincinnati Bengal players. One's former Buckeye, and one's a former Oklahoma Sooner. But one's like a practice squad player, and Chris Worley.
Mm.
And as bad as the linebackers are for the Bengals, why don't you give him a shot to play? And then our star running back, Joe Mixon, who's a stud, just needs to get the ball more, in my opinion, are fighting and debating, not really fighting, but debating on what, in the locker room, if Ohio State and Oklahoma, who should get into the playoff. I think that's kind of funny.
I can't picture two grown professional football players debating in a nice, formal, mild-mannered way. In a locker room especially, I definitely expect some pushing and maybe some yelling.
I think it's kind of comical, but, you know, it is what it is, and those are some good Cardell Jones tweets.
I think they should do an eye-opener for it. You know, we have all the Oklahoma players on the Bengals, so who else is an Oklahoma player on the Bengals besides Mixon?
I think it's just Joe Mixon.
Okay, just him. And we'll have, not Worley, maybe Hubbard. We'll have him do a tackling drill. Whoever gets across the line, that team goes to the playoff.
All right, there we go.
That solves it. But
by the way, this goes out. I saw another tweet, and it just seems like it's happening every year. And I'm sure Tom Brady has bought one. But between Mike Vrabel and Nate Ebner, Tom Brady has wore an Ohio State. He keeps betting his Ohio State teammates a jersey wear or a shirt wear for a couple of days in practice, that he has to wear an Ohio State jersey in practice if Ohio State beats Michigan. If I was Tom Brady, I'd stop making a bet.
Yeah, until Michigan shows us something, like, I don't know why he thinks he's going to win that.
I don't know.
Because as we start to recap the game here, Big Cast, I want to get to this point. People are saying that this is the worst Urban Meyer team in a while, and I kind of disagree with that, but, you know, they're saying that this is the worst coached Urban Meyer team in years, and this was the best coached Michigan team in years, and, you know, just absolutely dismantled 62-39, and it's just like, if it's not going to happen this year, when's it going to happen?
I don't know. I really don't know, because I think as long as Jim Harbaugh or Urban Meyer, or no, scratch that, as long as Urban Meyer is the head coach of Ohio State, Jim Harbaugh will never beat Ohio State. Here's why. Back in 2015, when Harbaugh was hired, he had made a comment and said, Urban Meyer does not know what this rivalry is all about. He never played in this rivalry. Well, hence the fact that he's 4-0 against you, Harbaugh, and I think it's in his head. I think he overthinks. I think he personally lost this game because of his coaching schemes. Michigan is a team that will line up in the power eye or the pro eye and run it down your throat and then use play action and maybe use Shea Patterson as your feet.
Yeah.
Michigan tried to run what Maryland and Purdue did that put a lot of points on Ohio State. Keep in mind, Ohio State played it their best defensive performance all season, and kudos to them. But when you're trying, when you're a power eye, a pro style offense like Michigan, you cannot run a Purdue or a Maryland type offense and try to beat Ohio State, because Ohio State is a defense that is built to beat pro style and power eye defense offenses.
Absolutely.
That's why, and people think, look at me like I'm stupid and nuts. That's why I think if Ohio State made the playoffs, they could compete and possibly beat Alabama, because Alabama runs a power eye and a pro style offense. I get looked like I'm stupid all the time. I was like, think about it. Ohio State has the best offense in the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, Oklahoma, but it's up. It's one of the two. We have plenty of firepower, Big Cass. I agree.
Ohio State has enough firepower to go toe-to-toe with Alabama. But do they have the defense that can stop? I think game plan-wise, they match up well against Alabama. And maybe Clemson. I think they do.
I think I disagree with Clemson. I think Notre Dame, we match up great against Notre Dame, because they are a power run team. I mean, Dexter Williams and Ian Book. Ian Book's a good quarterback, but Dexter Williams are really, and Tony Jones Jr., they're just going to they really focus on running it. And I couldn't agree more with what you just said, to be honest, because I tweeted this week, midweek before the Michigan game, I said we were going to beat them soundly, just because Ohio State's defense is designed to stop that pro attack, like Michigan, Alabama, even Notre Dame. The teams we run into problems with, like Purdue or Maryland, are these teams that run these air raid offenses or like these spread offenses. Like, think about it. Rondale Moore tore us apart. These speedy, shifty guys, we have no answer for. When we lost to Baker Mayfield last year.
Those offenses, I call those offenses the spread motion, because we can beat teams with spread. We beat Penn State with the spread. I mean, mm-hmm. Granted, it was all read option and read option. We beat Oregon State, who runs the spread, but nobody goes in motion. We beat Tulane, that runs the spread, nobody goes in motion. We beat a lot of teams that run the spread besides Maryland. I mean, granted, the scoreboard said otherwise, we'll beat Maryland, but that's because our offense out dueled them. thing that Maryland and Purdue did was ran multiple guys in motion that confused our defense, and that's what happened. Now, the thing with, that's why I said we can compete with the Clemsons, the Notre Dames, and Alabamas. But the thing is Shea Patterson could sniff Tua or Trevor Lawrence's jockstraps.
Yeah. And
they're solid quarterbacks and solid up front. And all I heard all week long was how Ed Warner had the best offensive line he's ever coached. Oh, that Michigan has the best offensive line since they had Taylor Lewan and Jake Long. I call BS.
Right. I agree.
Pete Warner, our slowest linebacker, but our best practice linebacker, and I've given him so much crap, was able to get penetration on Shea Patterson.
I mean, I'm thinking, who had sacks? Malik. Pete Warner, I think, had one. Hamilton, the defensive tackle, he had a good one. We just got pressure everywhere, even on the punt, big cass. We had a freshman wide receiver block a punt. Like, at one point,
did you hear Urban was mad about that?
Why was he mad?
Urban was mad about that play call because they ran it in practice, and he didn't think that Chris Olave had the speed. You have to go back and listen to Urban Meyer's press conference after the game. Greg Schiano called for the play, and Urban Meyer almost called timeout, but didn't. And guess what? Because Chris Olave, he said Chris Olave had to get there in 3.9 seconds. Olave was there in 3.9 seconds.
I mean, big cast, man, we got this Olave guy, stud. I mean, if he's the future for wide receivers at Ohio State, I'm juiced, man. I can't wait to see this guy next year and in his junior year and all that. I mean, what a coming out party. I mean, two touchdowns, a punt block. This kid's the real deal.
Yeah, I saw something in the spring in him. I thought, man, this kid's going to be a stud. He could be a solid wide receiver. And it proved my theory right. I think that he's kind of – he's kind of overshadowed your guy, Ben Victor. Ben Victor had a great game against Penn State, but he's kind of fell off. Like, he's had some catches here and there, mm-hmm. but Ben Victor's kind of really, like, struggled down the stretch. He dropped some key passes against Maryland, and he had a touchdown against Michigan. I swear that's a touchdown. But
yeah, that looked like a touchdown to me, too.
But he kind of struggled after the Penn State game. Maybe I'm wrong.
He had that really nice touchdown. I think it was against Indiana where he caught it like on the run over his shoulder through his fingertips, like absolute seed by Haskins. But I mean, yeah, Victor struggled at times. But I feel like the other receivers have been doing great though. Like, you know, yeah. KJ Hill, always consistent. Paris Campbell, he's really kind of, I think, put the drops behind him for the most part. And I mean, he's going to be, looks like he could be a 1,000-yard receiver at this point. Johnny Dixon still making big plays. McLaurin does a little bit of everything, great blocking. Austin Mack wasn't having that good of a season. He's out for the year. But, I mean, this Ohio State passing attack, big cast, what they did to Michigan, it was amazing. They just crossing route after crossing route. And they sliced and diced Don Brown's defense to death right there in that game. Like, it was just one receiver crossing across the middle. The other one was crossing across the middle. Then, you know, someone like Paris Campbell would come and sit down in the middle of a zone. So it's like you got all these guys running, and then you got someone sitting down in a zone, and there's just too much motion and movement for, you know, these defenses to track them all.
Yeah, and then don't forget that, you know, Luke Farrell has some nice catches out in the flat. You know, Mike Weber has a couple catches. It was a game plan to beat supposedly the number one ranked defense in the country. Really, you know, it was what a game plan by Ryan Day. And I'm going to tell you what, I think Ohio State needs to offer him a – because he's going to be a head coach somewhere. I hate to lose Ryan Day, But if I'm Ohio State, I would offer him as the highest paid,
assistant in the country.
Because who knows how long Urban Meyer leaves. And I think Ryan Day can really run this program. And, you know, that's just my opinion. But, you know, I've got family members like, no, Ryan Day can't do it. Yeah, he can. Because what Ryan Day did in those three games, I mean, he could have put more points up on Tulane. But I think, I mean, no, Ryan Day wasn't in Tulane. It was Rutgers, TCU, and okay. Yeah, he put up a lot of points on those teams. And I think Ryan Day is the guy that we need to keep around. But also, before going back to the Michigan game, how about Urban Meyer, before Demetrius Knox came, called a timeout with a minute six, got hurt, called a timeout with a minute six. Before Demetrius Knox, I think he was trying to hang 70 on Michigan, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no, there was no doubt. I thought, too, he was going to go for two there if they scored.
Oh, I thought he was, too. I think when Demetrius Knox went down, that's when he's like, okay, I can't risk any more injuries. So we beat Michigan 62-39. Defense plays lights out. Special teams plays well, other than the bonehead play by DeMario McCall.
That was, I love DeMario McCall, and I'll give him credit because he saved Ohio State's butts in the Maryland game with that great kickoff return, but he really messed up there. He brought Michigan right back in it. I mean, that game could have been a lot larger result too if he doesn't make that bonehead play. Like, Michigan doesn't score probably another touchdown, and we probably go down and score. We probably do hang 70 on them, and they probably only score probably about 24 points.
Yeah, I totally agree. But all phases of the game, I have to give it A+ for everything. And if I was writing articles and stuff, my Buckeye leaves went to Chris Olave, Paris Campbell, Dwayne Haskins, and Malik Harrison, because those were the four guys that stood out the most.
You know who I'd give one to? Pete Werner, because early in the game, he had a ridiculously good pass breakup on Gentry in the end zone. I don't know if you caught that, but Gentry basically had his both hands on it. I think Michigan was going to take the lead 10-7, and Pete Werner just got his hand in there and broke it up.
Yeah, I saw that. That was outstanding. And I think, honestly, Nico Collins for Michigan is going to be a stud. Kendall was all over him, and he made outstanding grabs. And he bailed Shea Patterson out a few times. Jeffrey Okuda had his best game, and nobody realized it because he shut down Donovan Peoples-Jones.
He really did. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, was... I mean, Nico Collins and Peoples-Jones both had, I think, pretty solid games against us. Like, Nico Collins had the two touchdowns, and I felt like Peoples-Jones was their, their almost go-to possession receiver on most plays. But you know who really hasn't had a good, you know, past month, I'd say, big cast out of our secondary is Damon Arnette. And he's really regressed. And I'm kind of shocked because I thought he was going to be one, like, the leaders coming into this season, and he, like, even in the Maryland game, he, like, at least a couple pass interference penalties, in the Michigan game, a couple of them. Like, I don't know what's going on with Damon Arnette, but he needs to get his head together.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he struggled down the stretch, and we're going to need him big time this week because now we can switch gears to the Big Ten championship game. Northwestern, solid quarterback. I wouldn't say great. I think coming out of the Big Ten, if you would have told me that Clayton Thorson wouldn't make first team, second team, or third team, at least third team all Big Ten, I would tell you you were nuts, because I thought he was, before Haskins, you know, blew up, I thought Clayton Thorson was probably the best NFL-ready quarterback in the Big Ten.
He's battle-tested, I'd say. I mean, when it comes to experienced Big Ten quarterbacks, he's probably as good as they come.
Yeah, I think so too. But the thing is, yeah, Northwestern, they will spread you out, but they don't run a lot of guys in motion. I think they're kind of weak at the running back position, and Clayton Thorson's going to have to use his legs and his arm to beat Ohio State. I just don't think he's got the offensive line.
No.
Keep in mind, he was 18 of 12 this year for touchdown and interception ratio. But I believe in Big Ten play. Keep in mind, they were 6-1 in Big Ten play. So that's got to come from something. But they didn't play. They did play Michigan, but they didn't play Penn State. They didn't play. I don't think they played Michigan State, did they?
I don't believe so. They did play Notre Dame, I know. They're not in the Big Ten, but hold on. Let me pull up Northwestern's Northwestern football. Hold on. Excuse me. I'm a cripple. They played. I have one hand. This is tough. I'm like multitasking. Okay. They played. Oop, hold on. Well, we know they played Purdue week one. Big Cash, you were at that game. Okay. Here we go. They played. Hold on. Folks, do not, whatever you do in life, as I'm pulling this up, I'm going to give you some advice. Never break your hand. I broke my left hand, like I was saying, and it is, man, Big Cass, it is miserable. I have no idea how people, like, survive like this because, like, I can't do anything. I'm lefty and I can't do anything, but that's my one tip to people. Okay, got what I needed. So they played, obviously, Purdue week one. They won 31-27. They played Michigan. They played them tough, though. Michigan only won by three, 2017. They beat Michigan State, Big Cass, 29-19. They beat Nebraska. They won 34-31, took them to overtime. They only beat Rutgers by three, 18-15. They beat Wisconsin 31-17. They lost to Notre Dame 31-21. They're not in the Big Ten, but I just want to mention that because they're a playoff team. They beat Iowa 14-10. They beat Minnesota 24-14, and then they beat Illinois 24-16. And now they play the Buckeyes. But it's just the fact that they're a weird team because they either come out and they play like they play these great teams really tough, or they win by like a one possession against like a Rutgers. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, they're a very inconsistent football team. Pat Fitzgerald, who did get Big Ten Coach of the Year, the Bo and Woody Coach of the Year. I think they'll be ready to play. They got a ridiculous strength and conditioning coach who makes a lot of the Twitter.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It's kind of funny, but I think they'll be ready for the Buckeyes. But I think Ohio State will be way, way too much for them. But they're a team that will spread you out. But I don't think they don't run a lot of motion, so that'll help the Buckeyes. They should be, you know, Ohio State's defense should be fine. Offensively, I don't, besides Patty Fisher, who's going to stop Northwest? Who's going to stop our running game? I think our running game will be great, and there's nobody on Northwestern that can stop Dwayne Haskins.
No, I mean, my biggest fear, Big Cass, with Northwestern is just Clayton Thorson has the game of his life. Because, I mean, you look at him. Thorson, obviously, like we said, is a stud. Flynn Nagel, he's their leading receiver. He's a good player. And Bennett Skowronek, he's another receiver. Like, they have two pretty good receivers, and then their tight end Cameron Green. Like, their passing attack's pretty solid. And then, obviously, their running game isn't really good because they lost Larkin. Their stud running back Larkin, who was eating his first three games, had to retire due to a medical condition. He was a stud, but now they have Isaiah Bowser. He's a typical college running back. He doesn't do anything great, really, and he doesn't get. I mean, he's patient, he's quick, but he doesn't get a lot of blocking because the line is horrid. They have let up the most sacks in the Big Ten, and they allow the least yards per carry when it comes to rushing the ball. So I really think that if Northwestern's going to beat us, it's going to have to be a shootout.
Yeah, and I just don't think – I think our defense will be ready, and I think Urban Meyer will have to prove a point for that for the Big Ten championship to lead us to host up the trophy again. We'll get more into keys and predictions later on in the show, though.
Absolutely. Now it's time to talk some basketball, Big Cass, because last night was not a good night for OSU basketball, but OSU basketball is still on the rise. I mean, number one in the net rankings, but.
Yeah, it's one game, and not really concerned. The only thing that I got concerned with is CJ, the perimeter shooting just was awful last night. They went away from the game plan, posting up in the middle. I feel like Kyle Young and Caleb Wesson should have been living at the free throw line all game long, but in the second half they failed to, you know, it worked in the second half. They got a couple guys fouled out, but it just seemed like when those guys got fouled out, we hit a team that had their best shooting night against Syracuse did. Yeah. But we failed to keep penetrating the middle, and we panicked. And I think that's why we lost.
I mean, all right. Syracuse shot 46% from three. Ohio State shot 27% from three. So, obviously, if you shoot almost 50% from three, and you're probably going to win the game if the other team doesn't. But, I mean, Kyle Young, he's really been great this season, in my opinion. Like, he's been a pleasant surprise, and we need him to be a stud because Micah Potter transferred. And Ohio State, yeah, we should have been posted up more. I thought it was a little difficult, though, because Syracuse had that 7'2" dude who, I guess blocked the shot, even though it was goaltending. Everyone knows it was goaltending.
He had three fouls. He finished the game with three fouls and got those in the second half. Granted, his two teammates fouled out, but we didn't attack him.
No.
Like, it just felt like we failed to attack him. But it's one game, and, we get back on the horse and get ready for Big Ten play coming up next week when we play Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the good thing is, here are some good takeaways.
We have some games left.
Yeah, we have tons of games left. We were number one in the first ever net rankings. I mean, I'm just going to say that the whole season. First ever in the net rankings. But it's Syracuse. It's a very respectable program. And to that Jim Boeheim zone, it's a good learning experience, I think, for teams to face. And I thought we did a decent job of it. We just couldn't really shoot ourselves out of that zone. That's how you're supposed to break it. You're supposed to shoot yourselves out of it. That's really it. I mean,
yeah.
Luther Muhammad, he hurt his shoulder. I think it's a dislocated shoulder, so he's going to be out for a little, I would assume. And Thad Mata was honored at a halftime, though, which was great to see.
Yeah.
But overall, Ohio State basketball, they're going to be fine. You know, they beat UC. They beat Creighton. They face a 6-1 Minnesota team at home to get, you know, start the Big Ten play. I think they'll be just fine. Plenty of season left.
I think so, too.
All right. Now it's time to, all right. Let's bash the SEC, Big Cass.
Well, before we get into the playoff talks and everything, I'm bashing the SEC because last week, before their teams played their arch rivals, regardless if they played an out-of-conference arch rival, but they also played a team from the Division I, AA, or FCS, however you want to put it.
Powerhouses.
And one of those powerhouses was tied with one of the powerhouses in Alabama. And who was that, Dan?
Was it the University of Phoenix?
I don't know. Was it DeVry?
Was it William Patterson University?
Was it William and Mary?
No, I think it starts with the something the,
wait,
not the Ohio State.
Isn't it a military school?
The Air Force Academy.
No, the Citadel.
Oh, that's who. That's who. Oh my gosh. Just watching Big Cass, man, watching that game. We were down to Maryland at that point, and I turned to my dad and go, I don't care if we lose to Maryland. If Alabama loses to the Citadel today, I'll be fine with the Buckeyes not winning another game the rest of the year if Alabama loses to the Citadel. Because it was that funny looking at the scoreboard at halftime and actually being like, This is happening.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy. Very crazy. And but again, like, Danny Cannell has been, I don't know if you guys have been checking out Danny Cannell, follow him on Twitter. He is an SEC hater and he's becoming my guy.
I enjoy Danny Cannell. I mean, he's really good. He brings up a really valid point you showed me about, I mean, why, if Alabama loses this game to Georgia, what honest to God reason should we have them in?
Well, I mean, he's like Danny Cannell and Joel Klatt said, we're in the postseason now. If you lose a postseason game, you do not deserve to be in the college football playoffs.
You don't. Like, you really don't. It's not. Let's give you a bunch of chances. It's you lose, you're done. Like, I mean, because I put it this way: in 2015, if the playoffs truly supposed to be the best teams in college football, in 2015, Ohio State lost to Michigan State. Yeah, they lost to Michigan State and technically aren't deserving, but there's no way you're telling me that 2015 team was not one of the best four teams in college football that year, and they were just as talented, if not more talented, than the team that won it the year before.
Yeah, and the thing, too, that Joel Klatt and Danny Cannell are pointing out on this whole situation is not the fact that Alabama is not deserving. It's the fact that if they do lose to Georgia, this time you're not comparing them with two lost conference champions like you did last year with Ohio State. You will be now comparing, if Ohio State and Oklahoma beat Texas, by the way, and Northwestern, you're looking at a fact that you have two one-loss conference champions that you're comparing them with. And I think, in my opinion, if I was on the committee, I would sit there and say a one-loss conference champion, regardless if you lost to 49-20, wherever, to Purdue, or you lost to Texas, trumps a non-conference champion. And that's the thing I tried to tell Penn State fans, too.
Yeah.
You guys were a two-loss conference champion. We were a one-loss team. We got in. We looked embarrassed. Yeah. But who's to say Penn State wouldn't have looked embarrassed against Clemson?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, here.
Granted, Alabama went and won a national title, which, in my opinion, they should have been playing Oklahoma because, in my opinion, still to this day, I think Oklahoma threw that Rose Bowl game because there's no way you take the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands. And when he was been torching Georgia all day long.
He was feeling dangerous, man. He was feeling dangerous.
But this is 2017, 2018. You need to put the best four in. And regardless, Alabama's not losing to Georgia, people. They're not losing to Georgia.
I really don't think they'll lose to Georgia because Georgia lost to LSU, all right? And LSU didn't put a point up against Bama at home. Like, that was the game everyone was saying, and I love Joe Burrow, but everyone was saying, oh, this is the day Alabama's going down. And
by the way, I love Joe Burrow too, but we'd be a 9-3 football team if Joe Burrow was our quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And nothing makes me more angry when the committee was honestly putting LSU ahead of Ohio State, they had one more loss in Ohio State, and they were starting our backup quarterback at quarterback. And Joe Burrow, he's a good player, but he's if you look at the numbers, Big Cass, I think he has like 12 touchdown passes on the season. Dwayne Haskins has like over 40. Dwayne Haskins is on another level. It's not even close.
The only thing that Tua Tagovailoa, whatever his name is, has on Dwayne Haskins is quarterback rating.
That's it. No, it really is. It's a travesty that Dwayne Haskins probably won't win the Heisman because he's put up the best numbers probably in the country.
Exactly.
I mean, hold on, Big Cass. I got before we move on to talking about that team up north. I gotta read you a blind resume, and you tell me if they're in or not. You ready?
Yes.
All right. So they're undefeated. They did not finish below first in their conference. They did not lose to Texas. They did not lose to Purdue. And they've played as many top 20 teams as UCF has.
That's Notre Dame.
No, it's not Notre Dame.
They're undefeated?
Yeah.
That's Alabama.
No.
Clemson?
No.
I get it.
University of Phoenix. I just find that funny, though, because it's like, I just want to point out, it's just the way people, I think, are able to frame things these days on, you know, how to really show their, I guess, their agenda for who should be in or not. And I do want to talk about that one committee member. I forgot his name. He's a moron, though. He says that Oklahoma, their offense is so dynamic. It's so dynamic. They're number one in offense. And Ohio State's offense is really good. We're number two. He then says, oh, well, Oklahoma's higher because of the defense. Well, Oklahoma defense is ranked like in like the, I want to say like almost the 80s. And Ohio State's defense is like still top 40. So it's just how I guess people frame things, which is really, really kind of frustrating.
It is very frustrating. Very frustrating. And it's kind of almost speechless, honestly.
I gotta find the committee member's name. Hold on. It's going to take me...
Oh, by the way, Gene Smith, the athletic director, is on that committee, and Oklahoma's athletic director is on that committee. So this ought to be fun.
Oh my gosh, there's gonna be a fight in that committee room. There really is. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. I'm trying to remember this committee member's name because it's something. I want to say Mullins. What's his name?
No idea.
Hold on, I'm going to Twitter. Sorry, folks. I should have had this in the.
Not Brett McMurphy, is it?
If he was on the committee, oh my gosh, Ohio State would be ranked dead last.
Somebody, while he's looking out on Twitter, I am looking on Twitter, somebody made a fake 30 for 30 commercial for the guy who fixed the turf last year in the Big Ten title game.
Oh, that guy, dude, I saw the Fagermeyer tweeted, they're like, I wonder what this guy's up to. I hope he's ready for the game. I mean, I really hope he is. Oh, okay, his name's Rob Mullins. Here's an exact quote. The defense played better against Michigan, but that is still probably the shortcoming. Their offense has been able to carry them. Rob Mullins on Oklahoma. While their defense has been a challenge, their offense has been superior. Now, it's Oklahoma's number one in offense, like I said. Ohio State's number two. And then on defense, though, it's like Ohio State's like close to like 40 spots higher or something. It's ridiculous, though.
Yeah. Dan Dawkins just tweeted out about a half hour ago. It said, side note, call Terry Klapik than the AD at IU right now about hiring Urban Meyer. He laughed at me and hired Jerry DiNardo back when Urban Meyer was coaching Bowling Green.
Oh, no. Wait, is Jerry DiNardo, is he the dude on the Big Ten Network?
Exactly.
That guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's a good personality, but not a football guy.
Dan Dockage is my hero.
I love. I mean, when you talk about announcing people announcing Ohio State games, I love when we get Dockage for basketball. And the best group I think for football Ohio State gets is the duo of Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson. That is like the most dynamic duo I think in all of college sports.
It's because Joel Klatt is a former player, played at Colorado, and he hates the SEC.
I mean, he's also very analytical, though. If you've listened to what he says, he's really logical, and I like what he says. And then Gus Johnson, I mean, he's just the perfect hype man. It's the perfect mix.
I'd rather have Gus Johnson call football, basketball games, though. He's more... I like him for football, but I like him more. I liked him more when he covered the NCAA tournament.
Agreed. I guess as we pivot away from just random talk, let's get into what is that team up north to, Big Cass?
Well, Jim Harbaugh's father said they should honor Michigan and raise a co-Big Ten East banner at Michigan. So basically, you're the assistant to the Big Ten champions, Big Ten East champions, Ohio State. So you're just Dwight Schrute of the Big Ten.
They're Hugh Jackson. They're the Hugh Jackson to the Marvin Lewis.
Don't get me started on that.
But, I mean, yeah, I it's just stupid. I mean,
that's the Dwight Schrute. Michigan is the Dwight Schrute of Big Ten football.
It's like, let's just give out participation trophies at this point. I mean, the revenge tour, it's canceled. It's the farewell tour at this point, and it's just let's give Michigan a giant participation trophy, because at best they're going to like the Fiesta Bowl or something.
I think Peach Bowl or Fiesta is better. And but keep in mind, if Northwestern does beat Ohio State, they are going to, it's sounding like Michigan will be headed to the Rose Bowl.
And where will Ohio State be going, you think?
I think Ohio State would get, I mean, Northwestern would get a New Year's Six. I think the three of them would get a New Year's Six Bowl. I think Northwestern would probably get the Fiesta, and I think Ohio State would probably get the Peach.
Or maybe the Outback Bowl.
But honestly, if I had to get sit down to it, I think Michigan State gets the Pinstripe Bowl. I think Iowa gets the Pax Slater Bowl. I'm trying to think of the teams that are bowl eligible. Is Purdue bowl eligible?
Yep, 6-6.
I think they get the Fight Food Hunger Bowl again, where they beat Arizona last year. Or whatever that bowl game was.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, it's the Red Box Bowl now this year. The Red Box Bowl.
I can't wait for the ridiculous bowl names. We're going to play a segment. Once it's bowl season, Big Cass, we're going to play a game next week,
because this week, well, they'll announce Sunday, they will announce the bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play a game where we'll list you two bowl games. I mean, one will be fake and one will be real, and you'll have to guess it.
Absolutely. I can't wait. That's a classic game, but all right.
We'll have to do it this weekend before the games are played. We'll play it with our fans. Look for it on Twitter, folks, and on Facebook. We'll list you. Keep in mind, we'll list you, and you have to comment back what you think is a real bowl game and what is not a real bowl game.
You know what? We might do some giveaways. I don't know, stickers or T-shirts or something, because we're going to be coming out with those soon, some new branding stuff. But
yeah,
as we wrap up here, let's do the keys to the game, Big Cass. What do you got for us?
the biggest key of the game, don't beat yourself. Play, you still got 3 goals left that you set off for this season. And one of them is definitely full-fledged, and that's the Big Ten title. Your goals, you put a set of goals, and that was to win to beat the team up north, to win the Big Ten East. Well, you got 2 of them. You got at least 3 more to go, and go ahead and get the 3rd goal out of the way and win the Big Ten title. And that, don't beat yourself. That's it. Because on paper, you are outmatched against the Northwestern Wildcats. Athlete to athlete, play like the Ohio State Buckeyes are really capable of playing, and don't play down to your opponent.
Absolutely. I was going to say, they got to come out like their lives depended on it. Like, they got to come out and they got to beat this team by 50. They can't sleepwalk. They can't allow Northwestern to, get confidence early. They need to come out. They probably need to start with the ball and just drive down the field and score a touchdown. And then don't let up any big plays. No big plays. There's no excuses for this because their running back, he's not that fast. The line doesn't really block well. They don't pass protect well. So just keep everything in front of you and just play Ohio State football like they did last week.
Yep, and score predictions. I've had a few of my buddies from my coworker. A coworker of mine said 65-12 was his prediction, and I told him, I was like, "Well, listen tonight to get mine." And I'm not gonna go as high as he did, but I am gonna go 55-13.
I'm going 48-17. And
All right.
I don't know if that gets us in. I don't know. It's going to be close, man.
I think regardless of the outcome, we'll know by 3:30. Actually, I think the SEC title game starts at, what, 3?
Yeah.
I think that we'll know around 7 o'clock. I think Oklahoma will beat Texas. I think Alabama will beat Georgia. And we'll be headed to Pasadena to take on Utah or Washington.
Which will still be a great honor, great game.
Urban's never been to Pasadena, folks.
That'll be interesting. That'll be a real treat then.
Absolutely. And you still got a lot to play for. But if we do get in the playoffs, here we come, Bama. But I'm going to say we head to Pasadena, and that's my whole side. We're headed to Pasadena.
Saban's going to throw this game and just he's going to work his evil magic, man, get his free bye week, get us out of the playoff, and that's going to be it. But this has been another episode of A Bunch of Nuts. Check us out on Twitter @bunch_nuts. Check us out on Podbean. We're going to work to get us back on iTunes and get us on Spotify. We just have to work out some logistical stuff there. But for now, we are located on Podbean, and interact with us on Twitter. We're going to try to do some giveaways, maybe some do some t-shirts soon and all that. But as always, Big Cass, win the moment.
Win the moment, you go Bucks.